He is risen. So welcome to the Easter program. That last song is not one maybe commonly associated with Easter, but I thought it was appropriate because of the patriotic tune. And if you listen, the theme of today's program is freedom, the freedom of the cross. And if you listen to the words that the kids are going to be singing, what you'll hear is the truth of the King of all kings coming and sacrificing and dying for us, being made low for us. So I thought we would start today's program, and you can tell there's a lot of excitement. We'll start today's program by reading just a snippet of a sermon, and I promise it's not long, but I think it says it well. So it says, all that could be accused of me before the living God, from the first time that I lied, to every act of injustice, to every angry lash out at the creator of the universe, every sin imaginable that an accuser could bring, Jesus is at his right hand saying no. I paid for that. This is my adopted son, perfect, spotless, pure, holy, mine. In the cross of Christ, all that made me an enemy of God was poured out on him, absorbed completely by him, so that I am no longer under wrath, but under mercy. So I'm here to celebrate my own funeral. I'm here to celebrate my own death. I'm here to sing and celebrate that I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself for me. The cross was my death too, and now I'm free. So this is our Easter program.
This is the story behind a classic Easter hymn at Calvary. We've likely sung this song our whole lives, not knowing where it came from. This is the testimony of author William Newbell. He was born in 1868 in Savannah, Ohio. All who knew him considered him a humble man. However, that was not how his life began.
William Neal's early years are not easy. He caused himself and his family a great deal of trouble. His father wrote many letters to the president of Moody Bible Institute, asking for with his son, but the president told him that he was running a Bible school, not a revealed school.
However, after many more letters from the distraught father, the president finally gave in, and so young William Newell came to Moody Bible Institute. The president spent many hours answering his questions and praying with him. Finally, after many months of counseling, the prayers of William's father were answered, and so young William gave his heart to the Lord.
William grew to become a minister and later returned to the Moody Bible Institute as a teacher. 30 years later, as he was sitting in his classroom remembering his troubled years and rejoicing in his salvation, the words of a poem floated in his mind. Then he wrote the words that have spoken to many for over a century.
After he had written the poem, he paid a visit to the music director at Moody, who sat down at the piano and wrote the tune for his friend's poem within an hour. Years I spent vainly in pride, caring not it was for me he died, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there is great and grace was free. Pardon there is multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Summer Sunday morning in 1865, Mrs. Elvina Hall was sitting in her usual place in the church choir loft. As the preacher's prayer droned on and on, her thoughts drifted into other things. She pondered the meaning of the cross, and the scenes from the crucifixion flashed before her mind's eye.
She taught about the shout of victory Christ uttered as he died, which is telestai, in Greek and usually translated, it is finished, but it had another meaning back then. It was an accounting term. When a bill was paid, it was calmly stamped with the word telestai, meaning paid in full. As the pastor's prayer continued, Elvina Hall took up her hymn book and, turning to a blank page inside the cover, she began to write. Afterward, she presented the pastor with some simple lines of poetry, not likely telling him that they were written during his prayer. Looking at the poem, the pastor was reminded of something that had happened just that week. The church organist had composed a new hymn tune, but with no words, he passed it on to the pastor, hoping to find a poem that would match.
In his study, the pastor laid Elvina's poem next to the lines of music. He was surprised to see how well they fit together, and the words and music have been partners ever since in the hymn Jesus Made It All.
Thank you. the Easter story. Jesus came to compensate for all the wrongs we do. He came to earth to die for us so we'd be born anew.
This bitter cup, let it pass from me, Jesus said in his Jesus cried in his plaintive voice, but not my will, but thine be done, he said in his faithful choice.
The Judas kiss would seal his fate. He faced a hostile crowd. The governor, Pilate, saw through it all. Jesus' guilt he disavowed.
I wash my hands of all of this, said Pilate, let him be. But the crowd yelled, crucify him now and set Barabbas free.
Pilate yielded to their wish, and Jesus was led away. The soldiers beat him and mocked him too. Yet he continued to obey.
A crown of thorns laid on his head as his sentence was carried out. His hands and feet were pierced with nails, but he did not scream or shout.
Father, forgive them for this crime. They know not what they do. He said, despite this torment, because he's thinking of me and you.
It is finished. He sighed in his anguish and pain. As his body gave up to death, the curtain tore as darkness fell after he took his last breath.
The last of the story is the very best part. That's why on Easter we're all filled with pleasure. Death could not our Savior hold. His power His power is beyond all measure.
He rose from the grave and seen all around. Ever since he inspired devotion, and we'll be with him forever when we'll get a heavenly promotion.
That's why Easter is a major event. He suffered and died in our place. He rose and forgave us and loves us still, our Savior of matchless grace.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Lord, I'm glad you're in my life. God always wants the best for us, but in Eden we sinned. We really blew it.
We disobeyed God's direct decree. We separated from him, and we knew it.
You'd think we'd learn to behave ourselves, but through all time, we just kept doing it.
Piling wrong on top of wrong, our punishment, we kept accruing it.
Jesus came and changed all that. He paid the price for all our sins.
When we repent and believe in him, we change and a better life begins.
Easter stands for a second chance for us to choose to put things right.
If we repent and really believe, our record is polished, clean, and bright.
When Jesus rose from the dead back then, he guaranteed our eternal life.
United with God in heaven, free from tears and fears and strife.
Easter ensures paradise for all of us, for you and me.
We're reconciled to our Lord and King for now and all eternity.
This poem is called Saving Grace. Lord, you are so wonderful and deserve our love and grace.
I cannot express just how I feel when I think of your saving grace.
To think of what you went through that day upon the cross and in the moments leading up to it when soldiers spat and scoffed.
And beat you with no mercy, making sport and having fun.
You said not a word in your defense, even though you were God's son.
You bore it out of your love for the lost and dying souls.
To give us a hope we can hold on to for a future to unfold.
It's such a good description, Lord, of what your grace can do.
For no one's exempt from your saving grace. It's a gift freely given from you.
Therefore,
Well, I'd just like to introduce the high school, and in keeping with our tradition of not singing, we will be reading a dramatic sermon that we've picked out. And this year we decided to go with a little different perspective, in that each and every year we're reminded of the Easter story. We know it in our minds, but what happens when there's a disconnect between what we know in our mind and what we feel in our heart? I think sometimes, maybe more for the adults here, we go through seasons of life just happening, and we go through seasons of struggle with sin, and we don't necessarily feel it in our hearts. And so this sermon here endeavors to try to answer that question of what do you do when there's a gap between your head and your heart?
What do you do when your mind is there, but your heart isn't?
What do you do when you know what the Easter story is? You know Christ has bled, died, and risen for you. You know you can't do it alone, and you need his grace.
And your mind knows, but your heart isn't there.
So, you don't feel remorse over your sin, even though you know something is sin. Are you with me on this?
What do you do when there's a gap between your head and your heart?
Throughout the scriptures, there's this phrase, wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord isn't pleasant at all.
In fact, in one of the most gut-wrenching psalms in the Bible, Psalms 42, David is literally in a fight with himself.
He screams,
"Why are you so downcast, my soul?
Put your hope in God."
So his mind knows.
Don't make a god of that. Put your hope in God.
Put your trust in God.
Bow down before God.
Serve God.
Walk with God.
Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why aren't you buying into this?
So, how do you wait on the Lord if this is you?
You position yourself under the waterfall of grace, and you wait while you walk in obedience.
So one step at a time, one day at a time.
Asking for God to break your heart.
Asking for God to restore the joy of salvation to you.
Asking God for him to make him your treasure. Asking God, being honest about where you are, whether that be the desert or the low part or the struggle, and you wait.
Why?
Because they who wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and no longer be weary. They will walk and not grow faint.
So the song that we're going to sing for you now is called Salvation is Created. It was written by a brother named Pavel Cheshnikov, who you might guess by the name didn't grow up in Indiana. He actually lived in Russia, and he had the situation of being born before the Communist Revolution and then dying during the Communist rule, which meant that he lived as a composer in a time when Christian or spiritual music was outlawed. So he wrote this piece, and he died before he ever had the chance to hear it performed. But then after the fall of the USSR, his children had the chance to hear it performed live in the Greek Orthodox Church. And so it's now our pleasure to sing it for you. It's a very, very simple song, just a statement of what Christ did for us, and then a worship and praise to him for that.
Fantastic afternoon. Thank you all for all your preparation, kids. Memorizing verses and poems and stories and dramatic poems. Can I add that to it? I mean, that was a very dramatic poem by the high school. Fantastic. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for your preparation and for telling the good news of Jesus. We had Galatians 2:20. I'll just read it again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I was sent a note this week that I thought fit in nicely just for us to think about. The gift that we've been given by Christ is so great. It's so wonderful. Sometimes we don't think of, we don't take hold of it as much as we could. And Luke 7:47 says, a person who is forgiven only a little will love only a little. And to believe that we are totally and eternally debt-free is seldom easy. Even if we have stood before the throne and we heard it from the king directly, we still doubt. As a result, many are forgiven only a little, not because the grace of the king is limited, but because the faith of the sinner is small. God is willing to forgive all. He is willing to swipe the slate completely clean. He gives to us a pool of mercy, invites us in to bathe. Some plunge in, but others just touch the surface. And I think as we think about this verse that we have here, you know, this is a life of faith that we have been given. And it is a faith upon Jesus and upon his death upon the cross that our sins may be forgiven. And we must have a belief in the giver. We must believe that Jesus has given the gift sincerely to us. And we must also believe that he is telling the truth. And that he holds it out for us, saying, salvation is yours. It's yours for the taking. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us and for this day. I don't know if we can improvise. Should we have a prayer to close? Anyone here in the front row? Who's experienced this? Fantastic. Anyone, please, give up a prayer.
Did he ask for a prayer? All right, let's all bow our heads and thank our Father. Father in heaven, we stand with this great gift offered to us, and it's only out of the pride in our hearts that we would not accept your gift. And I would pray we would admit that we need you, that we can't do it on our own. And we pray we would invite your Spirit to work more strongly in our lives. And as each of these kids gets older and older, we pray that we will be able to tell them a story of a testimony of how you've worked in our life, how you've shown yourself, how you've been trustworthy, and how before we were born that you had an idea for our life. Before we were born, you planned to send your Son to die for us so that we could join you in eternity and be called your children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Clint, thanks. Appreciate you jumping in. Everybody's probably gotten tired of me praying in front of Sunday school. So we're going to dismiss now. And the three-year-olds are going back to their class, and the rest will be in the back. And parents, you can meet your kids in the foyer. Thank you.